We're in 2 Corinthians, chapter 10. But let me give you a picture of our household. Friday night, there was a storm, tornadoes. We live in the edge of Tennessee, and the polygon that they showed on TV was going between our house and Fayetteville. We were right on the edge of the polygon. Now, I had gone to bed, but my wife was up watching news, and she felt inclined to wake me up and bring me before the TV to see our immediate death. I asked her, "Why did you wake me up for this?" "Well, I wanted you to see, but I was asleep." But Mississippi did get hit hard. Keep Mississippi and the folks, and the families there grieving. Keep them in your prayers. And it's tornado season. Welcome to the South. Anyway, 2 Corinthians chapter 10 we're in this morning. And in verse 5 of 2 Corinthians, Paul hits upon the thoughts and attitudes of a carnal society. Paul, a Roman citizen, was well aware how Rome authority worked, how they dominated the countries, the world at that time, and they dominated by brutal force. And they considered themselves, especially any Roman citizen, to be worshipers of the emperor, or they considered themselves above the knowledge of God. Today we live in what we call a scientific atmosphere of thought and standards, which is also above by many the knowledge of God. But recently, there's been a reversal in some of the scientific circles that the Big Bang didn't actually happen. And so their theory of the Big Bang is now bogus. And the age of our universe is not necessarily 13.5 billion years old. Well, I didn't think it was that old anyway. But science, the anchor of theory, is foisted upon us every day in our world, and it comes against Christian knowledge and logic. And today we begin to consider in scientific circles that UFOs exist. They're out there. Watch TV. Somebody's always filming Bigfoot, and he's out there, supposedly. And the knowledge of this world is anything but truth in reality. I don't venture into the COVID epidemic we just went through now that a lot of reversals are going on about that in the vaccine. But one of the most basic thoughts of mankind is that you and I, we're good. We're not sinful. We're good people. Meanwhile, evil exists, and it demonstrates itself constantly as being evil. We can look at the war in Ukraine, and that we can just see it. It's a conflict of Eastern Europe. Know that the aggressions of Russia and China, they're evil. But it doesn't necessarily affect us here, except for shortages. Shortages in oil and things, and even food shortages. And all we have to do is look at the constant turmoil that is in the Middle East and how everyone seems to be against Israel and realize they're God's people, and that's why everybody's against them. China. They're a constant threat to invading Taiwan, and that's a real threat. And many people are being killed in the Ukraine. And that's a war that is almost accepted in our society. Our government is sending billions of dollars in the Ukraine war effort. So there's no wonder that Paul writes and tells us, bring every thought captive. Control what you think about, for we live in troubling days. I'm a simple person, think in a simple way, but a few years ago, I quit watching the 6 o'clock news. They're lying to me. Why watch it? Jesus told his disciples there would be wars and rumors of wars. And so we see that today. So our hope needs to be in the Lord Jesus, and that's paramount in our daily lives. Think on the things of the Lord. And so we find ourselves crying out in our evil society, come quickly, Lord Jesus. And if Paul in his day thought it was necessary to think proper and bring thoughts under control, how much more today do we have the need of a correct mindset? So let's move into 2 Corinthians 10, verse 7 through 18. Do you look at things according to the outward appearance? If anyone is convinced in himself that he is Christ, let him again consider this in himself, that just as he is Christ, even so we are Christ. For even if I should boast somewhat more about our authority, which the Lord gave us for edification and not for your destruction, I shall not be ashamed, lest I seem to terrify you with my letters. For his letters, they say, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak, and his speech is contemptible. Let such a person consider this, that what we are in word by letter, when we are absent, such we will also be indeed when we are present. For we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, they're not wise. We, however, will not boast beyond measure, but within the limits of the sphere which God has appointed us, a sphere which especially includes you, speaking to the Corinthians. For we are not overextending ourselves as though our authority did not extend to you, for it was to you that we came with the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things beyond measure, that is, in other men's labors, but having hope that as your faith is increased, we shall be greatly enlarged by you in this sphere. To preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's sphere of accomplishment, but he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. For not he who commends himself is approved, but whom the Lord commends. So Paul, he's writing this second epistle to the Corinthians, and they say, your letters are heavy, but when you're present with us, you're weak and not so outspoken. Have you noticed that sometimes as you're talking to a non-Christian, they will quote scriptures at you? The most quoted scripture is, judge not, lest you be judged. They don't want us to look at them as they are. We naturally want to compare ourselves with others, even within the body of Christ. We look upon one another and we come to a conclusion. I'm not as bad as that person. And trouble with that conclusion is that other person, that other brother or sister, is not the standard. Now, we're all trying to appear good or holy, especially here on Sunday mornings as we come together. We can disagree or argue with our spouse on the way to church, but between the parking lot and this building, we put on a happy face. I want to be known as pleasant. That outward appearance can be hiding inner turmoil. Paul, in his outward appearance, was weak and unimpressive. He was described by those of his day and those that followed him, church historians, that he was short, bald, runny eyes, crooked nose, one eyebrow, and bow-legged. Now, there's a good-looking man. Now, I'm told that I sound like Chuck Smith. I even have the same haircut. If I could only preach like Chuck. Years ago, back when I was a wee little lad, radio personalities did not have to appear glamorous. They were just voices on the radio. But you know, along came TV and movies, and that all changed. I've noticed something, being bald, that there are a lot of bald men here in the South. But you go out west, and there's not as many bald men. What's up with that? Hair pieces, let me tell you what it is. And Paul, perhaps he was of low esteem, and he said, don't judge others by the outward appearance. Every time I do that, I find myself being completely wrong. For he said, we apostles are also in Christ. For the Corinthians, they're guilty of judging Paul on his outward appearance. Now, hold on, realize that. They're judging the apostle Paul by the way he looks. The guy wrote about half of the New Testament. Yet Paul will go on to say, I will not boast in my apostolic authority. It was given to me by the Lord himself. Any authority as an apostle we have, or as a Christian, any authority we have, is to be used to edify the body of Christ, not to tear it down. There are some pastors who denounce other pastors, and some of them do it right there on TV. But, you know, I listen to Chuck through the Bible tapes for years, and I never remember him publicly attacking other pastors. He just didn't do that. Even the pastors that were off base. Now, there are many ministers and ministries that have off-base pastors. And it's a surprise to me why they are popular. But the Corinthians had a complaint against Paul. They said his letters are strong, they're weighty, and they're powerful. But when Paul comes, when he's present, he is weak and his speech is contemptible. So Paul, he declares, don't force me to be harsh when I'm with you. Don't force me to use my apostle authority. But Paul will go on to boast, and he will boast of his authority. It would have been much better for the Corinthians if they would have simply recognized Paul in his authority. Paul would much rather edify the body of Christ than to turn and be destructive. Many churches have come apart from those who would tear down and destroy. Some committees, some church leaders, they totally look for positions of authority and power, and they edify themselves rather than building up the body of Christ. Now, I was privileged to know Chuck Smith, not as a close friend, but at least on a friendship speaking basis. And so I was curious to see this new movie, how they would portray Chuck in the Jesus Revolution. First of all, the guy they chose to play Chuck, I wasn't approving of, but that didn't matter. But I found that movie to be more about Lonnie Frisbee and Greg Laurie than Chuck Smith. And I found it was a decent, good, informative movie. I enjoyed it. So we at Calvary, we have a rich heritage. Chuck Smith was a very gracious and solid man in the faith. And Paul, in verse 12, he continues to declare that as an apostle, he does not commend himself or compare himself with other ministers because Jesus is the standard, not fellow saints or pastors or elders, but Jesus. The Corinthians, or I should say some of the Corinthians, were carnal in their opinion of Paul. They took pride in the fact that they were tolerant of sinful behavior. But I find Paul that he was above reproach in all his behavior and in his love towards Corinth. And in this passage, we find Paul, who will not boast beyond what he calls boast beyond measure, not even in his private thoughts. Our private thoughts can elevate us or they can condemn us. For some at Corinth were guilty of comparing themselves among themselves. When we compare ourselves to others within the body, we can easily look upon ourselves as higher or more righteous than the others, or less holy and less righteous than others. But I have discovered that the body of Christ is made up of people in different places of walk with the Lord. So cut them some slack. Paul, he will go on to say in his letters, imitate me. Have the same mind and behavior I have. Now, I will say imitate Paul. I rarely, if ever, say imitate me. I don't think I'm the standard. It's the Lord. Paul, the apostle, he knew believers were watching him as an apostle, watching to see if his spirituality, if his preaching lived up in the everyday man of Paul. Now, we all have friends or relatives that are watching us. Or haven't you noticed this at family reunions? Now, I was raised in a Pentecostal denomination, and I had very few examples of pastors that I looked upon as good examples. I didn't have a good group to look at. But I can honestly say that Chuck Smith and my pastor in Modesto, Damien Kyle, they have my respect. You've heard me praise Chuck, but Damien, my pastor at Modesto, He was a few years younger than me, but he was a man I respected. He had my respect. We didn't agree on every thought theologically, but I had respect for the man because he lived and did what he talked about from the pulpit. He lived out his religion. The examples I had before coming out of Pentecost, they were not so good. And for years, I had little, if any, respect for pastors of that denomination. And that was wrong, because there's some good ones. But my mother, heavy-duty young, not so young, Pentecostal lady, would make it a point to be friendly with all the pastors. And most of them were what I considered lacking in their respectability. But that's from being young and being judgmental. So in my maturing and growing up in a Pentecostal church, it was tainted. There were some good preachers, but not necessarily examples to pattern my life after. So I never was inclined to follow after them. I never desired to be a pastor. I came to Alabama at the age of 51 to be a pastor. Shows you what a slow learner I am. But my mother, she would make excuses for the flaws and the faults of the pastors that we knew. And for years, my mom, bless her heart, I can speak good about her if I say bless her heart, felt like Calvary Chapel was a secondary type church. We weren't up to her expectations. Now, not every Calvary Chapel pastor is always that perfect example. There's some that I don't have a lot of respect for, but there's a few that I have a whole lot of respect for. God gave me a few good examples within the Calvary movement, a few good men as examples to imitate. And my sole desire is not to be known for my great exposition of God's word. I do all right, but I'm not great. I want to be honest in my everyday life to be a trusted man of God. My prayer is, God, help me to be forthright and trusted. And that should be the goal of each and every one of us as a believer, because we have so many unbelievers watching us. We live in a fishbowl. So do your best to be upright. Let me get you to stand. We'll close in prayer. Father God, we pray that you would put a heart within us to be forthright, to be honest, to be respectable, to bring every thought captive, Lord. We want to be about you and your kingdom. Lord, we're only here on this earth for a short while. We want our years, our days to matter. We want those that know us to look upon us as being men and women of God. That's our desire, Lord. We want to be good examples for others to look upon. So help us, Lord. Help us to live out a Christian life that is honorable. And Lord, you tell us, be holy for you're holy. And I certainly don't look upon myself as holy, but yet you call me to holiness. So I want to be holy, Lord. I want to be about you. Want to be about your kingdom. Showing forth love and grace, not condemnation. So help me, Lord Jesus, to live out that Christian life before you. So we pray for this. Be with us, Lord. Watch over us. And we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.